services, and I'll be going through the current service level, and then Mr. Scott from the agency will be briefly describing or recapping what the agency spends its money on in this program unit and discussing the program option packages that you see before you. If you look about the middle section of the page that you see before you, there's a box that says the 1999-2001 legislatively approved budget as the starting point for the current service level. The next line shows there were some personal services roll-up costs. Essentially, the primary reason here is for the full biennium of salary plans or salary raises that occurred this biennium that were phased in and will be needed for 24 months next biennium.
Yes.
Also, there were some limited duration positions that were eliminated because they are limited duration positions.
Oh, okay.
Under the essential packages, there's the standard vacancy savings calculation, and there were some temporary position roll-up costs that were just standard inflation. There's a phase-out of Senate Bill 622 telecommunications. These were one-time expenditures for some of the telecommunications work under Senate Bill 622, and it was primarily expendable property and some professional services for a needs assessment that's been completed. The inflation was standard at 2.5%. The state government service charges actually decreased. And then there were a couple of adjustments for lottery fund carryovers. The first one was $167,000. There were some dollars left over from the 1997-99 biennium that were carried forward into the 1999-2001 biennium. And these were used in conjunction with the Shanghai Trade Office. Because these were one-time monies and they were used this biennium, they are no longer available, and so they are phased out. And there was no carryover from this current biennium going into the 2001-03 biennium. And that summarizes the current service level. And now Director Scott will briefly describe the program and the policy packages.
For the total of the current service level, 0103 is $27,196,000.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'll just briefly remind you what the program unit is. Essentially, this is all the staff and services and supplies that are associated with the department's central programs that are actually governed by myself and the Economic and Community Development Commission. So it's essentially all the staff except for the Arts Commission, Tourism Commission, Progress Board, and Film and Video Office. And that's what's paid for by this. We've been through the organization chart and so on. Before I go to the program option packages, we have a handout because we had had a number of questions, and committee staff asked us to try to kind of go one more time through the fund shift so that people could understand actually, I shouldn't say that. This is the first program option package. It's the statewide infrastructure fund shift. Sorry, I didn't realizing that. But the first line on the spreadsheet you're on is a $3.5 million shift from lottery funds to other funds.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the policy option packages are summarized under the agency overview tab, the yellow tab. We're starting at page 24.
Beginning with policy option package 101.
Mr. Chair, the first one I want to address is 090, which is, I guess, the fourth one listed there. And that is the fund shift, because I think it's simplest to understand the shift first before we get into the increases. And this is, as I just was saying, is to shift the $3.5 million from lottery funds to other funds, and this is what we've talked about several times, which is roughly 25 positions that are currently funded from the direct lottery appropriation that are proposed to be funded in the governor's recommended budget from earnings in the infrastructure funds. We've given you a series of handouts that just helps get into the detail of that, and I don't need to walk all the way through it, but let me show you what you've got.
Can I just ask a question in that regard, Mr. Scott? As you add 25 positions at a cost of $3.5 million, I was really impressed with the quality and quantity of work which had been done on the document that showed us the actual, and I think it had a kind of a bright yellow face on it, and I didn't get it today. I just borrowed Robin's, I think. It was included, but it was the one that had, a bright yellow cover on it.
It should be in this.
Okay, it should be in this top packet right here.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
It's right here.
Thank you very much. I just don't have the color correct. I was impressed with the quantity and quality of everything that I saw. And please believe me, I did not go through it item by item in any way, shape, or form. The guy could lose his eyesight doing that. But the question becomes, if we proceed to go ahead with this project, with these projects, it looks like within the current resources that you have, that you've been able to substantially accumulate the number of packages and identify the needs and identify the potential benefits and so forth to each of the communities. I'll just pick one out here to stand by. This is from this unassigned funding source. The Athena truck route improvement intake form to finance on 12/19/1999. That wasn't a very good one. It shows all zero amount requested. Stanfield water improvements 11/22/1999. Amount requested 1.9 million. Other funds 2.1. For total projection of the project cost of 4 million. Looks like to me that you've got this pretty well in hand. Why do we need 25 employees to continue with 25 new positions to continue with this?
Mr. Chair, Program Option Package 090 is not new positions.
Okay.
This is a shift in the way we fund 25 existing positions.
Okay, and so it would be coming from the lottery to the other funds, and the other funds would be generated out of the earnings of the $196 million bond.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Now, just to illustrate that, we gave you some handouts here. The first one is the one with the two colored pie charts. And this just illustrates the program services as they are in the current service level, and then on the right is as they are in the governor's recommended. So that includes the increased positions, which is a net or a total of 20 positions, of which four are really positions that are already there. And so that just shows you, illustrates the shift from lottery to infrastructure in the way the department is funded. But the second sheet, Mr. Chairman, is the one that shows you exactly where the positions currently are now by team. It shows you both dollars and FTE, how things are funded, and within other funds we're showing, breaking it down to show the infrastructure funds, business finance, and other are all what you would normally consider other funds. So that just shows you that more specifically. So that's the whole 121 FTE that are in current service level in our budget. The sheet behind that, that's numbered sheet 3, just gives you a breakdown of what those positions are, which teams they're on. or the ones that are funded by infrastructure. So we currently have 23 and a quarter positions that are funded from the earnings on our infrastructure funds. So that's in our existing current service level. So we're already funding 23 positions that way.
The fund shift
is on the next page.
Okay.
This is the one that has boxes, colored boxes, two rows of them. And this shows you the top line is just the same thing that I showed you a second ago on the full page. The top line shows you what they are in current service level. The bottom line shows you what they would be after the fund shift. And the four boxes that have blue ink at the top are the four where their positions are being transferred, being shifted, their funding is being shifted from lottery to infrastructure. That would be the policy and communications team, the central services, program development, and then the five regional service teams. So that will allow you to see kind of graphically where the positions are that this fund shift relates to. And the next page just gives you the same information in a table form, and it details the exact positions, what the titles are. That's the 24.5. I was saying 25 a minute ago. 24.5 is the correct FTE that are being shifted, and the governor's proposing to pay those positions by infrastructure from the other funds in the infrastructure funds rather than from the direct lottery allocation as they are now, and that saves the direct lottery allocation $3.5 million. So this package is a reduction package.
Senator, you need to recognize.
Mr. Scott, why are we shifting funding of current positions to the interest earning? Because we do not approve $200 million of bonding, and if we limit it to $43 million bonding, the same as this session, and $81 million bond bank, same as this session, because we may not want to use up all the capacity in bonding for the next 9 years during the next 2 years, because you really can't predict what are the capital needs over the next 9 years. So if we limit it to the same as what we have this session, what would the interest earning be, and how many positions can we fund it if we limit it to what it is now?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, we could still shift some positions, but there's kind of a policy decision involved. We're working on some calculations so that we can maybe show you options on that, sort of how much flexibility you have to shift some of those funds if you were to provide $45 million of new capital rather than a larger amount.
Yes. I think I asked Sherry Shane that question.
Yeah, and we're working
right
on it.
Mm-hmm. We need to see that because I understand you have a model that you can calculate what the interest earning would be and how much positions you can fund if you shift it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Yee, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to give us that information soon?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, yes, we will.
So if I understand correctly, then, Mr. Scott, you're with the addition of the $196 million of additional bonding capacity, because we've already had bonding through the community development fund, because we've already had the bonding through that particular fund or the various funds that have addressed these issues in communities in the past, we're really, how much is our net overall increase of employment within the department just related to $196 million in bonds? Is that a fair question? Maybe
Mr. Chair, yes, that's a fair question. I'm, just trying to make sure I give you the right answer and don't get confused. Again, if you go to the next page of the handout that I gave you, which is numbered 6, in the handout, let's see, Program Option Package 101 is 9 new positions. That includes, I think, one federally funded position, which wouldn't be part of the infrastructure package, or one and a half federally funded. So of that 9, 7.5 in Package 101 are associated with the infrastructure funds. And then all 7 positions in Program Option Package 102. So it's 14.5 is the net new positions that are associated with the infrastructure financing.
That would be the 7 under Package 102 and the 7.5 of other funds under 101.
Right.
And then the 1.5 plus the 1.5 for federal funding, which would have to be approved as well.
Yes, and then we're also asking for the, in Package 105, for 4 positions funded by money from Quest under Senate Bill 622. We already have those positions, but they're limited duration, so they have to be reauthorized.
Okay. Let's see.
So the net new positions of 16, of which 14.5 FTE are associated with infrastructure financing.
That on the Package 105 is it's when I go back and look at the program services general, that isn't in that current service level there. That really doesn't address that 600. Well, that's
105 gets that those positions are backed out in adjusting to get the current service level because they're limited duration positions.
I guess I didn't see the...
Mr. Chair, there's a line there that says phase out Senate Bill 622 telecommunications.
Right, at 501,000.
Yeah.
Okay, but then it phases back in at 650,000.
And then it's a policy option package that you can approve.
Okay.
That.
Okay, but we're phasing out 501,000 and then requesting back in 650,000.
Mr. Chair, maybe I can clarify this. The 501,000 is only services and supplies. It doesn't have positions in it. On the line it says plus personal services roll-up costs, the 349,167. Are you finding that?
I'm sure. Well, yes.
Sort of under legislatively adopted or approved budget. Incorporated in that is the phase out of the 4 telecommunications positions. That number is a positive because you also have the salary adjustment, so it's a net change that's shown on this sheet. But the telecom position should phase out under that line.
So the personal services roll-up costs on that summary includes?
It includes the salary plan, the raises, the COLAs that weren't given this biennium.
Several items then in that one number.
Right.
Too many Christmas. Is there an easier way to do that? I mean, so that we could see what all that was? There probably is somewhere.
Yeah, the department has the detail if that's what you're...
Well, yeah, I saw the 501 go out, phase out of the 622 after the director called my attention to the telecommunications package 105, saw it go out at 501,000 and then back in at 650,000. And then there must be bits and pieces of that also included.
Mr. Chair, very roughly speaking, this won't be exact, but you stay on that line that Lisa just had you on.
Personal services
roll up. And you go over to the right. The other funds reduction there would mostly be those 4 positions.
Okay, so if I had the 439 there,
And the 501, so we have 900 and something in the current biennium.
And we're replacing that out with the 650,000.
Yes. So we're going to spend less in the new biennium than we spent this biennium from the 622.
Because of the startup, basically, under 622.
Essentially, 622 has two elements in that we get money for from Quest. One is to staff the process of assisting communities in making proposals for projects and then administering that whole project and providing technical assistance. That's an ongoing function. Then if you remember at the beginning, there was a needs assessment and a plan that had to be completed, and that's the 500,000.
900 plus 1,000 total then,
right.
On an annual basis under 622 becomes the 650.
Yes.
Now those funds under 922 or under 622 only continue on for a number of years.
Now, Mr. Chair, assuming that no one but Quest opts in,
right.
This will be the end of it.
Okay. Now, why do we move those to permanent if no one else?
Mr. Chair, we're not moving them to permanent. Oh, okay. We're just requesting limited areas.
Okay, I beg your pardon. I misunderstood that because they had been temporary positions, we were now asking for permanent limit. And these are four limited duration positions authorized. Are requested for reauthorization, and that reauthorization, Lisa, is as limited duration positions.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay, all right. I apologize because let me just interlineate that for as limited duration. Limited duration positions.
Yeah.
And if we have then another opt-in, for instance, GTE Verizon, then we would have to come back to the board and ask for appropriate limitations.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Chair, then moving on to packages 101 and 102, 101 has one and a half positions in it which are associated with the federal grant for brownfields cleanup that adds to the state funding we already have available to help finance both assessment and cleanup of brownfield sites. The other seven and a half positions, essentially the difference between package 101 and 102 is the infrastructure positions in 101, the seven and a half new positions, are essentially what we think we need in order to catch up and be fully on top of the level of funding that we're doing now or that we thought we were doing a year ago when we prepared these packages.
Can I ask a policy question in that regard? The brownfield cleanup revolving loan fund, I recognize that there are certain elements of loan to it and certain elements of federal grant and so forth. And one and a half of the nine positions is a federally funded position or a position and a half. Is brownfield something that we should be considering under the DEQ, or has that ever been administered by the DEQ?
Mr. Chair, we work very closely in cooperation with the Department of Environmental Quality on this program, and we each have a role that we play in it. The Department of Environmental Quality, obviously, are the ones that set the standards and certify the cleanup and provide a certain amount of technical assistance. However, we've kind of worked it out over the last few years in terms of trying to, the companies, to some extent, would rather work with us,
right.
Because
the DQ doesn't probably handle any of the money.
That's right. So we're basically doing the money and coaching the companies on what they're going to have to on what they're going to have to do.
Has that been part of the community solutions team, or is that just a stakeholder arrangement that you've worked out with DQ?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we've been working with DEQ for many, many years, long before the community solutions team, but that setup has certainly enhanced that relationship, particularly at the regional level. So I would say it's very much intertwined with that. The seven and a half positions for infrastructure in package 101 are essentially, we've been through the numbers with you before, to bring the workloads, the caseloads of the individual people that work in this financing down to the level where they can stay on top of promptly close out projects and they aren't working themselves to death. And we believe that they will still end up with higher caseloads than they had before we ramped up infrastructure last time, but because we've gotten more efficient and we've learned, I think we've organized in a way to do it quicker. But these 7.5 positions are the ones we think we need to maintain the pace we're on now.
The community development block grant funds that are filtered through this brownfield cleanup revolving loan fund, are they federal funds primarily?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I misspoke here. The 1.5 is partly brownfields and partly community development block grant.
Oh, okay.
So, and the reason for the... Which is which? One FTE on brownfields, a half an FTE on block, FTE on block grant. The reason for the half FTE on block grant is that the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development has installed a new information management system that we have to connect with that requires considerable more manual data entry and computer manipulation than what we were doing before, and that's the reason for that half position. So that would be paid for from the block grant itself. The 7.5 positions paid for from infrastructure essentially would pay for what you see them detailed in the orange sheets on this thing. Those are pay for two central positions and 5.5 I think regional team position, or five regional team positions, 2.5 central positions and five regional team positions that will enable us to catch up with the workload and be on top of it.
Now, let me ask this again, I don't mean to belabor this, but the brownfield cleanup revolving fund, is there more money coming in on a regular basis from the feds under the brownfield cleanup revolving money, or is this just the revolution of money that's already here?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if the money is already here, but it's a grant that's already been approved, and most of the money has not been loaned out yet. So we are really, this is the startup of the federal program. I don't think we've loaned out any federal money, I think. So to this point,
we really haven't gotten that. We're really not off the ground in the brownfield cleanup revolving loan fund program.
Mr. Chair, that's correct, although we do have a lottery-funded brownfields assessment program, which has had some activity, but it's quite new. But the federal grant is brand new, and we have not put any of that money out yet.
How much is the federal grant, if I can ask?
Jennifer Folovich, co-manager.
Thank you, Jennifer.
The budget request has a $2 million federal fund, some of which is in this program option package for program services, and the remainder, which would be for the revolving loan program, is in the community development.
How much is
revolving? $2 million in total. $1.8 million would be for the revolving loan fund, and $1,884,000 for the revolving loan fund, and the remainder would be to fund one position to bring the program up. And
so that revolving loan fund is in addition, the 1884 is in addition to the 2 million, or it's included in the 2 million.
It's included in the 2 million. There are two pieces to the $2 million federal grant. One piece can fund an administrative position, and the remainder can revolve and be used to make loans.
So we received $2 million in a biennium for the revolving, or for the federal funds to take care of the brownfield cleanup revolving fund. Are we going to expend out of other funds $896,506 to administer that.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry that this package includes really three program elements. The $896,000 would all be associated with the 7.5 positions that are paid for from other funds that are associated with infrastructure. And then there are two pieces to the federal funds. You know, roughly a little over $100,000 of that would be for the one FTE for a brownfield that we just talked about, and the balance would be for the community development block grant, half FTE.
So there's $100,000 and the other $56,000.
There's approximately $116,000 for the brownfield position.
$116,000 and then $40,000.
And then $40,000 funds half a position on community development block grant.
Okay, and so those folks for the 1.5 positions, $156,000, we're administering. Is that just the $2 million of federal funds, including the revolving loan funds?
Mr. Chair, there's a $30 million block grant that's administered,
okay.
And the half FTE would help with that administration. Again, the $30 million is in the community development fund portion of the budget. The brownfields. Revolving loan money is also in the community development portion of the budget, and that is $1,884,000.
$1,884,000, and that isn't part of the $2 million that you previously discussed, or it is?
That is.
That is.
$1,884,000 plus $116,000 makes up, should be a $2 million grant in total. From the Environmental Protection Agency. Correct.
And then, in addition, the $30 million of community development block grant, I guess one of the things that I was trying to do was, this is an ongoing, the $30 million in CDBG is already out.
Ongoing for many years.
And we're doing that with 7.5 positions other funded and 1.5 positions federally funded. To administer basically $30 million community development block grant funds and $2 million of revolving and other EPA funds.
Mr. Chair, this is a policy package to add staff.
Right.
The existing funds are managed out of existing staff.
Right.
So,
okay,
you would want to go back to.
But why are we adding staff to administer funds that we already have and we've been administering?
Mr. Chair, that was what I was explaining, where the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development has a very complicated new information system that we're required to relate to. So we're adding a half FTE to assist with that administrative workload that's required by the federal grant that we've had for a
long
time.
That's part of the community development block grant.
It's a new requirement of a grant we've had for a long time.
Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman, this is one position you are asking for in addition to the 10 you already have, because under program development team, you have 10 positions.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, this package has a half a position federally funded and a half a position infrastructure funded for that team. The federally funded position for that team, or a half FTE for that team, would be to cover that portion of their workload that's associated with this new HUD information system I described. The infrastructure funded half FTE, I believe, is to cover is to help us catch up on our contracting and monitoring for the infrastructure programs that are other funded.
Follow up, Senator.
Yes, follow up. I'd like to call colleagues' attention to page 142 here. What page would it relate to?
Mm-hmm.
business to get the business program.
Program development, right?
And you're looking at 2000.
2001 to 03.
This is that one here.
You're looking at organization chart?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, page 31 behind the first screen tab.
Yeah,
31 and 32, it's both sides.
So I'm saying we already have 10 people managing the loans. Are we talking about loans here? This community block grant.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, Senator Yee, the program development team provides a variety of kind of program administrative services to all the programs of the department, including community development block grant. Currently, if you looked on this sheet, you'd see that 0.75 FTE within the program development team is paid for by the block grant, by federal funds. I would assume that's all block grant.
Page six.
I think they'd be the same, though. Mm-hmm. So in the program development team, in the yellow ink, there's 0.75 of federal on the program development team. That would be to cover that part of that team's responsibility that relates to the community development block grant. They write the rules. They run a biennial process for setting priorities. They're the ones that have the communication with the federal government program officers that we have to work on. They're the ones that train our regional team members in how to administer these grants. They're also the ones that provide the boilerplate language for contracts and kind of control the contract format. And the reason to add another 0.5 FTE there is that we have found that since we have had the new reporting system that the federal government requires, just takes a lot more time for us to administer than we had before. And there are all the states in the country are experiencing the same challenge.
Follow-up, Senator Yee.
So on the same page, you already have contracts coordinator as part of the 10 people team, and you have program development coordinator, and you have assistant program development coordinator, and you have more program development coordinator. So you have two program development coordinator, one assistant program development coordinator, one contract coordinator, one data quality coordinator. So it seems to me that they should understand the federal rules without adding another person to implement federal rules.
And Chair Senator Yee, they do understand the federal rules. One of those program development coordinators is essentially full time, or I guess three-quarter time, as the real program expert for the community development block grant. What we have found is that the reporting requirements require so much attention from us that we need additional administrative assistant type help in order to keep up with the reports we're required to make to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development.
That needs to be discussed further.
Representative Smith, you had a question?
A quick question. This morning in the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Public Safety, we were deliberating over the location of a public safety training center. And one of the questions I raised is, are, how are we helping communities that have high unemployment or economic distress to take advantage of these type of projects? You know, in Heppner and Morrow County a few years back, we had an accountability camp that was to be located in the community. The state of Oregon developed these projects that have tremendous economic impact. And do we have a policy or guidelines to help these communities in citing these projects, or does the department stay out of that?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, the state doesn't so far have a really consistent policy on that subject as to how high a priority or if any is given to the positive impact that a state facility might have in the community it could be located in. There have been a number of programs, including some of the recent rounds of corrections investments the state's made, where we have been extensively involved by the department there, and they have asked us to give input, and or they've used our distressed index. They've asked for our assistance in helping site those facilities, but that varies by program.
Is it by invitation?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, yes.
Okay.
We have succeeded in getting specifically included in the governor's executive order on sustainability some language that has so far has actually helped get our foot in the door in some more of these projects than we had been getting into before.
So, it just seems like this department has much more expertise than a group of public safety officers in determining what's the most logical location for siting a facility such as what we talked about today, whether it's in Sweet Home or in Scappoose. And you know, I don't know what the next step would be, but I, as a person in the development industry, I had 100 questions I could have asked. But it, at some point, you just kind of say, what's the point? And you know, I guess you two are deeply involved in this issue, and I hope you would concur that at some point we need to take a look and say, are we helping out those communities that truly need these type of projects?
I'm going to exercise the prerogative of the chair, and given Mr. Scott's unbridled interest in joining this debate about where to put DPSSC, I'm going to ask staff if there's any additional business for the committee.
I have one more question, Madam Chair.
Senator Yee.
Yes. I want to know how much loan is the community development block grant system going to handle? Did you say 1.8 million, or did you say 2 million?
On the grant request.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, this person will help keep track of the whole $30 million that the department will be deploying of community development block grant. So this person will have a central, essentially clerical function with regard to making sure that our reports are in order with regard to the expenditure of those federal monies.
Senator Yee, respectfully, could I ask you to stay and finish with Director Scott? I unfortunately have to testify, and unless you would like to gavel,
what time do you think the chair wants to adjourn?
At three.
I just have one more question. I'll adjourn.
Great. Then I'm going to declare the meeting adjourned and allow Senator Yee to stay on, if you'll excuse me.
Okay. So how much long is the whole department handling this program development team?
The program development team would be involved with all of the department's loans and grants. So in the current biennium, that's a